Noah died at 950 years, verse 29. But he blessed Shem and Japheth before he did for how they treated him. Chapter 10, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. Sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, they're mentioned in the Bible. There are places north of Israel, way up north, like Moscow. If you get in an airplane and take off from Jerusalem Airport and go due north, you can land at Moscow without turning one way or the other within a few miles. That area, Gog, Magog, Gomer, Madai, Javan, Tubal, that's mentioned in prophecies about the end time. Meshech, there he's with them. Tyrus, the sons of Gomer, it tells about them. Ashkenaz, Riphath, Togarma. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish. Tarshish is a mysterious place because it's mentioned all through the Old Testament and nobody knows where it is. You read it when we read some of the commentary about Jehoshaphat building his boat, ships of Tarshish. Tarshish is a mysterious place. Jonah hopped on a boat with a ticket to go to Tarshish, taken off from Joppa. But we don't really know where it is. Some have guessed Spain, some have guessed, well, somewhere, a lot of places over in that region. Kittim and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. These are the sons of Ham. Ham is Cush. You need to look in your map book now to see what this is, because Cush is the word for Ethiopia. You see Egypt? Find a good map of Egypt with some land south of there if you can. Let's look up. Yeah, on page 54, you can see Cush down at the bottom of the page, south of Egypt. 67. 50 what? 67. 67, 54. They're in both of them. There's yours right there.
Where's that?
South of Egypt. Due south.
Got it. 78.
Yeah, they ought to be in several places. Oh, yes, good on 67, isn't it? That's the son of Ham. Cush. The next son of Ham is Mizraim. You know who that is? That's Egypt. That is the word that's translated Egypt all the way through the Old Testament. So Ethiopia and Egypt came from Ham. All the pyramids and pharaohs. And Phut, that's somewhere around there. I don't know if they had that on here or not. See if Phut is mentioned in the back here.
That's modern day. You decided to read C below.
66, John.
On page
67. 67. Where is it?
66. Corner.
I misspelled it. Yeah. That's Phut. Huh?
Don't you look for Phut?
No, I was looking for Phut. That's put. There's a difference between put and foot. At least in the English language. Now that might well be what we're looking for and don't know it. Look up put back here in the back in your It says Genesis 10:6 in the notes when it says put. Libyan region west of Egypt. That would make sense. They would live close by. Let's just say put is foot. And vice versa. Until we hear differently. Now the fourth son of Ham is also listed on this map. And his name was Canaan. And you know where Canaan went. Canaan was the cursed one. God went beyond punishing Ham directly. Put it on his son. So there you have the four sons of Ham, all living in close proximity. Canaan, Put, Egypt, Ethiopia.
John, was Canaan the youngest?
I don't know.
I just wondered why he chose Canaan to come.
Don't know. If we had the information, we would know it was right. Somebody asked me a few years ago, and I think I've told you some of this before, how did you get to know the Bible so well? And I'd never asked myself that. And then finally I realized I just believed it. I just believed it. When I read this, when I first taught the Old Testament class in 1978 in community college, I was making it up. I was making the course up as I went. I didn't know what was going to come next when I went to the next book. I'd heard a bunch of stories and, you know, read here and there, but I didn't know. But everywhere I came, where I found something new, I believed it. And I found out after a while, it all began to connect. It began to paint a picture that you could not see if you didn't believe what you read. If I had a question, and I did, why Canaan? And I didn't find the answer, I still believed God was right. I believed that the only reason anybody would disagree is ignorance without faith. I was ignorant, but I had faith in God that He makes no mistakes. And if we knew the truth about it, if we knew the fact, we would know why God picked Canaan instead of Mizraim or Phut or Cush. But if you approach the Bible like that, God begins to put it together for you. And you can't not believe it. Because a man couldn't come up with all this stuff. I don't believe a man could come up with the Book of Mormon. I believe Joseph Smith had a real experience with a demon that said it was an angel from God. I've read the Book of Mormon. I don't believe a man could just sit down and come up with that. I know it's a lie. I just can't believe a man could do it. God gave us this book. Go ahead and let's admit to ourselves He's right, even if we don't understand it. So you got Ham and Canaan. All right, Mr. Jones, who's the father of Canaan? I give you a choice. Is it Ham or bacon? Good. Wendell, who is the son of Ham that God cursed?
Canaan.
Who cursed Canaan, Rodney?
No.
Why'd he curse him? Why'd he curse him? Because of Ham. Noah didn't like Ham? He wanted bacon? Why'd he curse him? What did Ham do? He showed disrespect to his father, basically. What was that curse, Randall?
Canaan was going to be the servant of servants.
Servant of servants. Kathy Bartow. Who was the grandson of Noah that he cursed? Canaan. You sure? Who's Canaan's father? And Ham's son that Noah cursed? What was the curse, Diane? What was that? What did Noah say?
That he was going to be the servant of servants.
That Noah said he was going to be the servant of servants?
No, that Canaan was.
That Canaan was going to be the servant. I just don't want you to confuse me now. Now watch those pronouns. Mm-hmm. All right, Amy. What was the curse that Noah uttered on his grandson? Earth to Amy.
Noah?
Yeah, you know, Noah cursed somebody one time. That who would be a servant of servants? Noah?
Canaan.
Canaan. Why?
Because
who did what? Who did what?
Because Ham looked on Noah
naked. And didn't cover him up.
Right.
And went and told his brothers.
Right.
He showed disrespect to his father, didn't he, Rodney? That's all it is. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And nobody gets by without it. Nobody. Debbie Gregory. Who's the grandson of Noah that he cursed?
Cain.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Well, if that's true, then who was Ham's son that Noah cursed?
Cain.
And what was the curse?
Cain was going to be a servant of God.
That's right. That's right. And why did he curse him?
Because he showed disrespect to it. Because Noah showed...
Noah showed disrespect to Ham.
Ham
showed disrespect to Noah. That's right. Kathy Tuck?
Yes.
Why did Noah curse him? Curse his grandson, Canaan.
Why did Noah curse? I mean.
Say that again. What was the question? Okay. Why did Noah curse his grandson Canaan?
Because Ham showed disrespect to Noah.
And what was the curse?
That Canaan had to be a servant to servants.
Servant of servants. That's right. That's right. So Leah, who saw Noah naked in his tent and showed him disrespect? Ham? You sure? So Noah cursed Ham to be a servant of servants. Who cursed? Canaan cursed Ham to be a servant of servants.
No.
No? Canaan cursed Noah to be a servant of servants.
No.
Ham cursed Canaan to be a servant of servants.
Noah cursed Cain.
Cain? Cain was dead.
Canaan.
Canaan, that's right. I don't know.
You know what I meant, though.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you know what you meant. Okay, so Ham cursed Cain to be a servant of servants. Clint, help this girl.
You want me to help her? Okay. Ham looked upon his father's nakedness. Noah cursed Canaan to be a servant of servants because of what his father done.
Is that right? Noah cursed Canaan to be a servant of servants because of what Noah's father did. You're no help at all. Ham's father is Noah. Because of what Ham's father did? Whose father?
Canaan's father.
Oh. Is everybody clear on this?
Ham's father's Noah.
Okay. Doris said when I started, she had it right. Well, tell me what's right, Doris.
That Noah cursed Canaan. It was Ham's son because Ham looked upon Noah's nakedness and just showed disrespect to his father, and so he said that Canaan would all be servants of servants.
Couldn't have said it better myself. See there, Leah. Yeah. Amen. So that's an important event there. It's not I wouldn't put it on the level of a major event, but it's a biggie. Very big later on. One of the descendants of Cush, who is Ethiopia, in verse 8, is Nimrod. He was a remarkable man. He was such a mighty man, he didn't consider himself in need of a near kinsman. Now that's remarkable. Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He had a big reputation. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, this is a phrase that was going around the earth in those days, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Worldwide reputation. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Kalna, in the land of Shinar. Look, Ethiopia, we got to get an Egypt map up higher so you can see this. Ethiopia's down there in the foundation of my house. Somewhere down there. He didn't have any near kinsmen over here in Shinar. He was going to show the earth how mighty he was, leave his whole family around and take on the whole world. And he established some pretty powerful cities. Every one of those is well-known ancient cities. All in this area down here. Babel, not being the least. He's a pretty mighty guy. So much so that that God felt that it would be right to put him in the Bible, even though that's all we're ever told about him. He was a mighty, mighty man. He was one of those whose stories would have been twisted later by the Greeks, Assyrians, Romans. He could. He probably was a little bit oversized. He'd have had a big neck. Out of that land went forth a guy named Asher. Asher is the word for Assyria. So Assyria, who established the empire of established the cities that the empire of Assyria later would own as their own, Nineveh being the capital, went from down as lower part of Mesopotamia to the upper part of Mesopotamia, and established some cities up there. Out of that land went forth Assyria or Asher and built Nineveh. And the city Rehoboth, and Calah, and Rezin, between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. Mizraim, it tells about his descendants there. And look in verse 14. From Mizraim came the Pathlusim, Casluhim, and out of whom came the Philistine. So the Philistines came from Ham through Egypt. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn. Sidon. Look on your maps. I think Sidon's off the map here to the north. Look on your maps there and see if you can see Sidon. Probably on 61.
I see him here on 67.
67, you see Sidon? It's way up the coast.
Yeah. Right, this is Lebanon.
This will be the border of the Canaanites in the beginning. The city of Sidon is still there now. Sidon's in Lebanon now. That was his firstborn, Canaan's firstborn son was Sidon. And Heth, this is verse 15 in chapter 10. Heth, now the children of Heth are called this. You don't see Heth but a very few times in the Bible, but you do see this a lot, the Hittites. They came from Heth. Let me see. Heth. Sons of Heth were called Hittites. And the Jebusites. The city of Jerusalem was called Jebus at first because that's where a lot of them lived. Jebusites. The Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, Arkite, Sinite, Arvadite, Zimmerite, Hamathite. They were the sons of Canaan. So, Stacy, who was the father of Ham? Who was the son of Noah that saw him naked in the tent? Say that again. Who was the son of Noah that saw Noah sitting naked in the tent? Ham. Who was Ham's son that Noah cursed? All right. Who was the father of the Jebusite, the Hittite, Arvite, Argadite, Jebusite? Give you a choice. Was it Canaan or President Bush? What? Very good. Betty, who's the father of Sidon?
Cain.
Who's the father of Heth? Who's the father of Jebus? Who's the father of the Arvadite? Arkadite?
All
not all themites.
Most of them, though.
All of them in those verses. Sandy? Who's Noah's grandson that he cursed?
Cain.
What was the curse?
Be a servant of servants.
Why did he do that?
Because Ham, who is Noah's son, looked on his nakedness.
Looked on whose nakedness?
Noah.
Noah's nakedness. What was the curse, James?
Servant of servants.
Be a servant of servants. Cliff, who's the father of the Jebusites?
Cain.
And Canaan's grandfather?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Turn out not to be the best of people either.
They were very bad. Very bad. That's why God took their land away from them. It got worse and worse. They didn't start out so bad, but they really got bad before it was over. Carol, who was the grandfather of Sidon? Is that right, Debbie? She said Noah. That's right? You agree with that, Doris?
No.
Why?
Because Ham was
the
grandfather.
Ham was the grandfather. Noah was a great-grandfather. Right? But Canaan and all his descendants were cursed to be servants of servants. It passed on to his descendants. That's how it works out in history. Are we up to date on that? You'll get those ites over and over and over and over again throughout your reading. Know who they are and what's going to happen to them. Because it does happen. Okay, the border of the Canaanites in verse 19. Border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you come to Gerar and to Gaza. In other words, the border of the Canaanites was down the sea coast from Sidon all the way down to this area in here where Gaza. And you've heard of the Gaza Strip in the news. It's still there. Palestinians live there. There, from this area across to where Sodom and Gomorrah, you'll find them on the map, they're on the lower end of the Salt Sea. And then back up again. That's Canaan. Canaan is not on this side of the Jordan River. No, no. But it does go all the way up to Sidon. These are the sons of Ham in verse 20, after their families and their tongues and their countries and in their nations. Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. Then it tells the children of Shem. Some of them, like at the end of verse 22, Aram, that's the word for Syria. So we know about where some of these are located. The children of Aram, or Uz. Wasn't Job from the land of Uz? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. So Job lived up here somewhere in this eastern Syria is right in here somewhere. Damascus is there. That's the capital of Syria. So this is the area where Job came from. Let's see what else. In verse 25, unto Eber, the son of one of these descendants of Shem, was a guy named Peleg born. And that's when the Tower of Babel happened. In his days was the earth divided. Some other names here. Verse 28, Obel, Sheba and Ophir. Oh, we don't have a map that has these on. Look on, I bet it's on that map you got open right there. What in the page is that on? 67 has Sheba and Ophir on it. Down there to the south, like Saudi Arabia or south of Ethiopia. South of Ethiopia or to the right there. Ophir is just about halfway down the Red Sea. And Sheba's all the way down to the south over in Arabia. Ophir and Sheba's down south, farther than that. That's right. Some of Shem's descendants. And Havilah. You see Havilah? Well, there's one Havilah. Maybe the wrong one. No, that's not that man. The right Havilah is descendant of the other guy anyway.
Is Assyria and Syria the same?
Mm-hmm. Syria is here.
But there are two Ashes.
Yeah. There are the two Havilahs too, and I just got them mixed up. Okay. Now I have a handout for you about where these sons of Noah went. It's a map. This map right here. For this class, it's Old Testament 10:23b. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They overlap in some areas, of course. Some areas they don't. You see Ham where he says Egypt put Cush. That's where Nimrod came from. Look how far over Babel is from there. Babel, Erech, Akkad. He went over there to establish his kingdoms just to show off. And you have the other names listed there too. Japheth to the north, Shem to the east, Ham to the south of Canaan. Thought it was an interesting little picture there. Now, chapter 11. Got any questions about that? That I might be able to answer? Chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, they said, go to. We would say, come on. Come on, let's make brick. Burn them thoroughly, which is a King James word for thoroughly. Burn them thoroughly, cook them upright, and they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, come on, let's build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Isn't that something? They wanted to do this so they wouldn't be scattered. We don't know how to accomplish what we need. The very thing we're doing sometime to thinking to try to do something good undermines everything we're after. Without God's help, we're lost little puppies. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Come on, let us go down. He's still talking to his son. His son carries it out. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Confusion, Babel. They don't know what to say, so they're just saying, Bob, 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 Babel. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. That was the beginning of Babel, or the beginning of the confusion of tongues, which is the fourth major event on that list I gave you last time. What's the first major event, Sarah? Oh, wait a minute. You volunteer? What's the first major event?
Creation.
Creation. What's the second?
The fall of man.
Fall of man. What's the third?
The flood.
The flood. What's the fourth?
The confusion of tongues.
Good. And I like how he used, and some of the rest of you used the word the on there. Because when we get to the Exodus, I'll count it wrong if all you put is the book name, Exodus. Because the Exodus is the event that's the major event. Exodus is the name of a book. Let me see, there's something I was going to say about that. Oh, well. Look at the... I'm going to show you a word here. If you're looking at the King James, you'll see this a lot. Verse, let's say verse 5, and the Lord... You'll notice that O, R, and D are not small letters, small case letters. They are capital letters in small size. Every time you see that in the Bible, it's because it's translated from this word, which is translated Jehovah in a lot of places. Either Jehovah or the Lord. In one place it's translated God, but it's not God like this, with little letters here and here. It's God like this, with capital letters, small caps. So every time you see the word for Lord and God with small capital letters, it's this word right here, which is the name of God that God revealed to Moses. Didn't tell Abraham, didn't tell Adam, didn't tell anybody until Moses. And he said, by my name, Jehovah, they didn't know me. How many of you have heard the new and growing popular name Yahweh? You heard that? You know where it came from, Drew? Can we explain it to you? You sure? You got a few minutes? This is the theory. This is the latest theory. And it may be true. I don't know. But this was the name of God. In the Hebrew alphabet, originally, there were no vowels. There are no vowels right here. So the people, the scholars, the priests, the Levites, had to just know what vowels to put in what letters, what words. It's when they were reading. If I wrote this right here, what word is that? Handsome. But you have to know what vowels to put where. Well, that's what that word is. If we take Jehovah, if we take the word Jehovah, this is that word. That's all. If you were reading Hebrew, that's all in your mind you'd see. This is the theory. And even today in some Orthodox Jewish circles, when they're reading the Bible and they come across this word right here, they'd never even try to pronounce it. They'll say, when they're reading this verse that you just read, verse 5, they'll say, and the name came down from heaven. And the name spoke to Moses and said so and so. They don't even try to pronounce it. Well, the theory is that that's the way it's been for thousands of years. So that after a few centuries of refusing to pronounce the name because it's so holy, nobody remembered how to pronounce it anymore. Nobody knew what it was. So, what are you going to put? When 1,000 years ago, in about 1000 AD, when a Jewish group of scholars called the Masoretes decided to write out the Bible and add the vowel pointings, when they came to that word, they couldn't do it because nobody knew what vowels were supposed to go where. Everybody had forgotten what the name was. So what were they going to put? They had to put something. So there's a word that you may have heard of, Adonai. That's an O right there. Which means Lord, with small letters. Sir, a wife may call a husband sir, a child call a man sir. We may refer to God as sir in some situations. He's called Adonai in the Bible several times. Well, a number of times. So they took the vowels from Adonai, according to this theory, and stuck them onto those four letters. Yeah, let's see. Hold on a second. Let me see this. I got to practice my Hebrew. Okay. And that comes out to Jehovah. This is This is O, a little dot right there equals our O, and little thing like that equals our A. And this is a real short E. So you add the vowels to those four letters, and you get Jehovah. Well, modern scholars who are teaching this theory aren't satisfied with that. They think, well, that's kind of an odd way to come up with a name for God. We think we can do better. And so they sat around and discussed it. And on the basis of looking, I guess, at hundreds of other Hebrew words similarly built, they decided that under that letter ought to be that. And that should just be a breathing mark. And this little line right here should have this under it. No. This, which is a E-H sound. That's Yahweh. It's just a guess. Dr. John Durham, who taught me Hebrew in seminary, taught at Oxford University in summers and various other places, wrote for the Anchor Bible series. He told us, he explained this to us, and he told us nobody knows. He said, this could be Yo-hoo-ha. It could be Yoo-hoo. Nobody knows. Nobody. That is just a guess. And there is developing a strong cult over this Yahweh thing, and there's no point in it. Because nobody knows. And my point is, if nobody knows, then what's wrong with Jehovah?
Yeah.
What's the problem? But I'll tell you what's really interesting. The gods of the ancient world were really what, according to Moses and Paul and the prophets?
Gods and devils.
Demons, devils. What was the name? Well, here's the name of the number one chief of all the devils in Greece. Here's the name of the chief of all the devils in Rome. But in Rome, he also had a very stylish name, just as popular, called Jove. By Jove, he was the chief of all the demons, chief of all the gods. But the Romans wouldn't have been insulted if I called them demons. They didn't think there was anything wrong with demons. They thought demons were very helpful spirits. And if you kept them pacified and offered them sacrifices, they'd help you. Demons, so what? It's just a spirit out there. It's a God, got some power, so we better be careful to worship them. But, now here's what the new Christian name for the God of the Bible is. After I taught Latin to Rebecca and Boo, I don't know if John David ever got on that or not. I can't remember. I was riding home from Henderson one day, and the Lord showed me this. If I was Julius Caesar in ancient Rome, I would never say the sound J in my life, probably, unless I was sneezing. A J. There is no J in Latin. Doesn't exist. They only have Y. And the word, the sound O in a situation like this would probably become more like O. Let's put that on here. O. Let's just put it on here. We can maybe make that an O if you want to. O. There is no V in the Latin language. Everywhere in all Latin scripts where you see V, the Latin pronunciation, the Roman pronunciation, is W. And there is no silent E on the end of any word. Every letter that exists in a Roman word is pronounced. So at the end of, when it's not a long E, is E, as in E-H. Now the chief of the demons in the ancient world was Yahweh. That sounds familiar to me. That's not a coincidence. Can it be a coincidence? I guess it could be a coincidence, but I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I think Satan liked that name. And he's using his ministers to bring it back in vogue.
Another trick.
Sure it is.
Still on that throne,
Still wanting to be like the Most High and share His glory, Sister Willie. Don't give Jehovah's praises to Yahweh. Praise God. That's the name of that tune. Now let's read my poem about chapter 11. Genesis 11. Men in Genesis 11 tried to build a way to heaven. Come together, thus they called, lest we be divided all. Build a city, build a tower, thus to prove our union's power. Make ourselves a name, and then we'll dwell as one without an end. God, who heard them, then came down, observing all with holy frown. Let us now confuse their speech, thus make communion out of reach. Their unity will but avail to lead them down the path of hell. Ti? Pronto, pronto. Was bedeutet das? Repete, s'il vous plaît. Mana? Well, that's about how it sounded. They didn't understand each other. Somebody say, hand me a hammer, and he gives him a bag of salt. That's what it sounded like to him. You think this story's far astray and language came some other way? The truth's too strange, too dull, too pat? He should have tried to tell them that. That's how it happened. Now, let's go over your assignment. Genesis 12 through 25. Don't forget to take maps home. You'll need them. Now, the first couple of weeks with the Old Testament, we're just kind of walking along, kind of taking it easy. Now we're going to step up the pace just a little bit. And don't feel overworked. This was a weekly assignment when I taught it in community college. You've got plenty of time to do every bit of this. Plenty of time. 2 weeks. Map number one, you already know a lot of those places. You probably know just about every one of them, except Padan Aram. But you do see Aram as a part of Padan Aram. And what did I just tell you Aram was? Syria. So it's up in that area of Syria. The places on map number two are going to start becoming more and more important now. Bethel. That will be on 100 maps before you're finished. Bethel's a very important place, all the way through the Old Testament. Hebron is another one in 13:18 that you'll have to know from now on. Beersheba is another one, 21:32, a very, very important one. And, of course, the rest of Philistia.